guilty about things that we should have stood for? Can you today identify your boundaries? And if you do not and cannot, then it's time that we get started. Because there are things in our life we just have to say are off limits for anyone. And there are things that we can open a gate to and allow good things in and open that gate and allow some bad things out. If you have your Bibles today, we'll look at a man who practiced his boundaries. The book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Very first book in the Bible. Gives great insights in the life of Joshua. I'm sorry, of Joseph. As he found himself in a unique situation and had to make a decision. But he made that decision based on his relationship with Christ, but the boundaries he'd already established for himself. We begin reading about Joseph, chapter 39, beginning in verse 1. So now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he had prospered. He lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his house, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned, from the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned. The Lord blessed his household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he had not concerned himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, a master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has been entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew who has been brought to us has made sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was in there, in the prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all the things held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success whatever he did. Let's pray together. Father God, today, teach us, Lord, how we too should have the boundaries that Joseph had set in his own life. Father, teach us today in every area of our life, God, that we have to have the correct boundaries based on your word, based on your values and principles and virtues. Lord, that we can live this life according to the way you want us to. And God, that we can live happily and freely without carrying burdens around or feeling like we've been used or feeling guilty because we've made terrible choices. Father, today, teach us how to uphold the boundaries as Joseph did. In Jesus' name, amen. Personal boundaries are not cages of confinement, but rather boundaries are composed of values which you allow to govern your decisions and behaviors and give you permission to live freely in your personal space. So we have this personal space that we've been entrusted with. That's who we are. It's all the things that compose us. Just as Joseph had this personal space. Now listen, this account of Joseph gives us the reality of life out there. Gives us the reality that, listen, some temptations, some troubles, some problems can come our way and oftentimes pursue us. We have to be strong and firm within the boundaries that we set. So we read about this man named Joseph who had great favor in God's eyes in the Egyptian leadership. So Joseph encountered this very seductive temptation from his boss's wife. Yet Joseph had established his personal boundaries, and through God's power and self-discipline, Joseph stayed within his boundaries of safe space and keeping away from a terrible, terrible decision. How many times we look back on our life and wish we would have stayed in our boundaries and not made a bad decision. Many times there are things come our way, and boy, instead of having a fence post, no trespassing, we just have a little caution sign that it gets broken very easily. And we go on about our business and we get ourselves in all kinds of problems. Doctors Henry Cloud and John Townsend said this, boundaries help us distinguish our property so that we can take care of it. We need to keep things that will nurture us inside our fences and keep things that will harm us outside. We need to keep the good in and the bad out. And that's what boundaries help us do. The first insight of four to help us establish and maintain healthy boundaries is this. Personal boundaries require spiritual fortitude. You can't do this on your own. You need God's help. See, personal boundaries require us to exercise the spiritual virtue of self-control. That's something we don't get preached about enough. To strengthen our resolve in order to resist temptations, that we have to stay the course with Christ. We have to strengthen up our spiritual boundaries, our spiritual fervor, and those virtues and values that God teaches us. The time to strengthen our resolve, to shore up our personal boundaries, is before we are faced with a temptation. Listen, if we wait for the temptation to come our way, now we're basing everything off of feeling. How do I feel about this situation? Rather than logically knowing what to do and have a preset no trespassing sign up there, we're now working off of our feelings. And how many times do we make decisions based on feelings? Let's be honest. You know, when you go to the checkout counter, all those things are presented in a certain way, that candy bar that you thought you wanted earlier, but now you're really hungry, and all those soft drinks are presented right there as you're checking out, they're basing it on your feeling, that you feel hungry or thirsty. See, living within insecure boundaries and that have been poorly maintained only ask for trouble. Securing our boundaries, exercising self-control, and vigilantly knowing our safe zones and our weaknesses must take place before we feel the oppressive power temptations, luring our hearts, invading our thoughts, and capturing our attention. Be prepared because the devil plays for keeps and destruction is his game. We say that we have to put on the whole armor of God, but we won't even put the fence up. Why do we put fences around our property? Why do we have walls on our house? Why? Protection. There's things we want to stay in, and there's things we don't want to get out. Fences, boundaries. In our real life, in our lives, we must be prepared with boundaries, because when the devil comes around with temptations, he's playing for keeps, and he's going to destroy something. Genesis 39, verse 6 and 7 said, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. So Joseph was in this dangerous crossroads in his service to Potiphar. He was the most trusted of Potiphar's house. Listen, remember the story of Joseph, huh? Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Potiphar bought him from the Ishmaelites, which is actually Joseph's cousins distantly. And so he's actually a slave, but because God's favor was on him, he worked his way up to the very top. And he was a good-looking fella, smart. He had a lot of things going for him. And this woman wanted him. Everything in Egypt had been entrusted to him under Potiphar's care. He had great power and authority and influence over everything in this Egyptian official's estate. And one day, as Joseph was tending to his business, Potiphar's wife approached him with his proposition to go to bed with her. Now listen, if his boundaries were not strong, he would have easily taken advantage of that. He'd have looked around, make sure nobody was in the house, and he went on. See, Joseph was challenged instantly with his strong temptation. His personal boundaries were assaulted. His thoughts were invaded, and his physical body felt this seduction of this woman. Potiphar's wife wasn't making small talk or flirting. She wasn't just asking how the weather was. She went straight to business. She went straight to the issue of what she wanted, and Joseph was secure in his personal boundaries and practiced great self-control in the presence of this assertive temptation. Joseph could not simply rely on his feelings at that moment. Listen, if he'd have been relying on his feelings at that moment, he'd have found himself in a place that he shouldn't have been. But he'd already decided long ago what he was going to do and was not going to do. And for many of us, we can't say that same thing today. We can't say that there are some things that I will do and things that I will not do. Because when we find ourselves with a little pressure, we crumble. We break apart. Our boundaries melt. Joseph had to control his thoughts and emotions in order to do the right thing. He had chosen long ago, and his personal boundaries were to be maintained, and the boundary for which when troubles came, he knew how to act and how to react. Listen, why do we practice fire drills? To know what to do when the fire happens. Why do we practice tornado drills? To know what to do if a tornado comes. Why do we need to practice and uphold our boundaries? To know what to do when trouble comes our way. But if we're not going to maintain our boundaries, we're going to find ourselves in problems. Simply following feelings would have ended in a huge moral failure for this man of God. But not only for that, he would have found himself in much worse trouble. See, we too must maintain these personal boundaries established by our convictions, our values, and our Christian principles. We're not immune to a powerful temptation, challenging situations, or troubling people who seek their own desires and our demise. There are people who seek to mess your life up. They get jealous of what you have, and they want a part of that. A lot of selfish people we're around. And if we're not keeping our guard up so that we can live life in safety and freedom, then problems will come across, and we allow them, and before we know it, we're in trouble. Cloud Townsend said this, is we need to have spaces inside of ourselves. We can have a feeling, an impulse, a desire without acting on it. We need self-control without repression. We own our feelings, and we own the decision to not act on them. We need to be able to say no to ourselves, to destructive desires, and to good ones that are not for us now. So there are things we need to do in our own personal lives, that we need that spiritual fortitude. We need to stay the course regardless of what's happening. And the only way that we can stay the course is to make sure that our fences, make sure that our boundaries, make sure those walls are there when we need them. Maintenance. One thing I've learned about having a few acres of property and some cows on it, fences need maintaining. Because before you know it, those fences are laxed and cows are stepping over them and getting in the neighbor's yards. Listen, if we don't keep our boundaries healthy, if we get laxed on them, we're sure to end up in problems. Second insight is this: the framework of boundaries is secured by personal responsibility. The framework of boundaries secured by personal responsibility. We have a responsibility in this, just like Joseph had. See, we must take personal responsibility for our safe zone boundaries in order to live out our Christ-like character. The only way that we can live as Christ desires for us to live and is saved for us to live is that we own our choices, own everything that we do, take responsibility for ourselves. Take responsibility, personal responsibility for safe zone boundaries in order to live out Christ-like character. What a thought. Joseph was a godly man who found favor with God. Even in his captivity, God had favor over him. Joseph took his faith and his position in the Egyptian home very seriously. You know why a lot of times we let our boundaries go? It's because we forget how far God has already carried us along. We get very comfortable. You know what comfort means? Is that we're not being very vigilant about things around us. And then we begin to, when something happens, we begin to blame other people. Well, we point the finger at someone else. No, part of owning our boundaries is owning our responsibility. We see in verse 8 and 9, it says, "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in this entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He held nothing back from me except of you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." Joseph is telling this woman, as she's approaching him and she's making propositions to him, he's saying, "No, no, no." You know what? No's a good word. No shows that you're taking responsibility for something, for yourself. Potiphar's household, Egypt, the good Lord, and eventually the nation of Israel was depending on Joseph to be a godly man by living in his boundaries. Listen, husbands, I want to tell you this. Our wives are depending on us to be godly men. Listen, ladies, your husband is depending on you to be a godly woman. Why? Because we have to have that responsibility. Joseph was a role model of godly young man. His decision to resist this woman's pleas for sexual affair is now recorded in Jewish and Christian history. We see in verse 10, she kept pressuring him day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Here's a thought. If you're under a lot of stress and a lot of temptation to break across your boundary, take responsibility and remove yourself from the situation. Joseph did that as much as he possibly could. He didn't want to be seen in the same room with her. He didn't even want to be around her. But for many of us, a temptation only lures us closer. Why? Because we have no boundaries. We've never established them in our life. Joseph took personal responsibility to be self-disciplined each day to avoid this woman's advances, flirting and outright begging for him to be intimate with her. Joseph took her advances seriously and created space between himself and Potiphar's wife. Listen, if someone is flirting with you, you better take it serious. The devil does. If someone is making accusations toward you to be intimate with them, you better take it serious. Don't take it lightly. Just smile about it, laugh it off. That's the exact foothold the devil is waiting for in our lives. the exact foothold he's waiting. Joseph had to work in his house and his property. Joseph experienced sexual harassment in his purest form. He owned his responsibility to excuse himself from her as he could and still get his work done. You know what? He ran around for a long time away from this woman. There was no executive to go talk to and say, listen, I'm being sexually harassed. No, this is the boss's wife. He was in a very dangerous situation. Joseph's personal boundaries were only as strong as personal responsibility to secure them and to live by them regardless of what situations he faced. Listen, our boundaries will only stay as secure and as strong as we take responsibility for them. If we will not take responsibility for them, they'll fall very quickly. Just as your fence around your house or your doors on your house, eventually they wear out. Eventually they give way. If you're not vigilant, take the responsibility to keep them up all times. We must realize that we too may find ourselves like Joseph, facing an oppressive temptation to sin and break from boundaries. It is our personal responsibility to create safe zones as much as we can and as best as we can from people, places, and situations that will cause us to stumble. We have to create those safe zones. There's a reason that Joseph ran from this woman every day. There's a reason he avoided trying to be seen with her or be in the same room with her, because he knew it was no good. He knew what problems were there. No one makes us do anything. We're responsible for our own actions. Even under temptation, we're still responsible for our own actions, for what we do and what we do not do. We're responsible for our language. We're responsible for our jobs, our temper, our patience, our attitude, our ponderings. Martin Luther said this. He said, you may keep a bird from flying over your head. You may not keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. In other words, you can't help temptations being around you all the time. You can't help tempting thoughts come through your brain. But listen, it doesn't have to find a place to lodge. A thought doesn't have to become a pondering. And a pondering become a desire. And a desire become an action. Being responsible means that we do not blame others or excuse ourselves through some made-up technicality. You see, we are responsible for our personal boundaries, for our safe zones, and for the maintaining of these boundaries so we be prepared when troubles do come our way. Listen, Christian, troubles are coming your way. You can bank on that. Troubles and temptations will come your way. That's just a fact of life. Whether you are prepared for them or not is all the difference. It's all the difference. Are you prepared for them? Cloud and Townsend said this. It says, being about an compliant person. Compliant people have fuzzy and indistinct boundaries. They melt into demands and needs of other people. Compliance are really chameleons. Their inability to say no to the bad is pervasive, and it keeps them from refusing even to recognize evil. Their spiritual and emotional radar is broken. They have no ability to guard their hearts. The third insight is this. Your personal boundaries will cost you something. Listen, we can talk about boundaries all we want, and we can say, listen, that's a good thing, and yeah, we need to be responsible. But understand this. When you put up the fence, when you put up the no trespassing, you put that boundary up, you're not going to be very popular. It'll cost you something. Healthy personal boundaries come with a cost, but not as expensive as living without the boundaries. Living with values inside of our boundaries will get some people upset. They refuse to buy into our life of health and principles. There are some people that will get mad because you stand for something. Verse 11 on down. We see where Potiphar's wife got mad at Joseph because he stood for something. She got mad at Joseph, probably was even very upset and embarrassed and maybe a little infuriated with him because he kept turning her down. Not just once, but every day he would run away, turning her down. How many times do you have to be told no to get the picture that it's not going to happen? This woman was very upset because Joseph had boundaries. He was a godly man. He had built these boundaries. He kept up those boundaries. And he lived and he was happy in what he was doing. He was pleasing God. He was making a great wealth for Potiphar. He was doing wonderful things. He was enjoying life. And this woman wanted a piece of the action. And when Joseph told her no, she didn't like it. See, personal boundaries define us. And Joseph wasn't willing to compromise his values and be compliant with this woman's desires. Joseph's boundaries infuriated her. And he paid a price for it. Listen, he paid a price for it because she was so mad, she set him up. And she tried to get him into her bed. And when he ran away, he left his cloak behind. And then she screams for help. And all the servants come in. And then when Potiphar comes in that afternoon, she tells the story over and over again of what Joseph didn't do. Listen, his boundaries cost him. Cost him, but it also cost him his thrown into the king's dungeon. The king's dungeon. He went from being one of the most powerful, influential people in Egypt to being a prisoner of the king, just like that. Simply because the man had boundaries, and he set those boundaries up. And listen, it cost him something. But if you think about it, had he gone on and had the affair with the woman, what would it have cost him with God? But not only that, he may have not made it to the prison when Potiphar found out. You see, boundaries cost him something. But it wasn't as expensive as living without them. Listen, boundaries in your life will cost you something. There'll be people who get mad at you because you have those boundaries. There'll be people who don't understand why you live in such a way. But you're happy. You're joyful. And listen, those people will talk about you. They'll call you names. They'll all sorts of things simply because you won't fall. Because you have a boundary set. Christine Morgan said this, setting boundaries is a way of caring for myself. It doesn't make me mean, selfish, or uncaring. Just because I don't do things your way, I care about me too. David Earle said it this way, he says, being able to say no is a necessary ingredient in a healthy lifestyle. See, like Joseph, healthy boundaries will cost you something somewhere, but it's not as high a price as being without them. If we counted up the cost of how many times when we've broken a boundary, we've crossed over a boundary, if we counted the cost of what we lost then, we'd be amazed. As compared to what? A few people talking about us? Few people not inviting us to go to girls' night out anymore. Few people not inviting us over to the supper because they're all drinking and you don't want to take part of all that because it's a bad way of life for you. Listen, you're going to lose some friends because you're taking a stand to be a godly man or be a godly woman. It's going to cost you something because you don't want to do those things that would compromise you. You're creating a safe zone for yourself to say, listen, I don't think I can go there because I'm so tempted to do those things that it's best if I not even attend them. Then for you, those people aren't going to like you very much. But that's them, not you. Eventually, they'll come around. You know why? Because they really wish they could get their life together and stand for something rather than fall for anything. They really do. They really wish they could get their life together too. So in some way they may criticize you, but they actually admire you for taking a stand, for just being you, the person God created you to be. See, boundaries represent awareness, knowing what limits, knowing the limits are, what the limits are, and then respecting those limits. The fourth thing we see, and we're closing, the fourth insight to personal boundaries is composed of substances that make you who you are. Personal boundaries are just this. Those are all of the things that make you who you are as a man of God, a woman of God. A personal boundary is composed of the virtues and values that are you and that are not you, who you are. Internal boundaries are formed from stuff that make you you. Owning the substances that define who you are and is an important building block to healthy boundary. We see in verse 23, it says, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success no matter what he did. So not only did he have success in Potiphar's house, when he was thrown in prison, he actually rose to the top to care for all the other things inside of the prison. Now see, if you go on reading the rest of that story, you'll find out something about Joseph. Joseph eventually got out of the prison, and he ended up in the Pharaoh's palace. And he became one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt. Most powerful. He went from a slave to Potiphar's house, being accused, falsely accused of something, thrown into the prison where he rose to the top in that prison, and from that prison he went into the Pharaoh's house. Oh. Joseph found success in prison. He found success in all the things he did. Why? Because even in the prison he didn't curse God. He stayed true for who he was, and he kept his boundaries straight. He knew who he was, what he stood for, and where he was going, and God was in control, and he trusted God. So what are some of the substances within your boundaries? I want to give you some of those things that you need to deal with, and things that you need to work on in your own life. The first one is this, is your faith. See, your faith in Christ is a foundation of the worldview by which you see all other things. Your faith in Jesus governs and guides your character. Listen, if you're not growing in faith in Christ, then your worldview is all distorted and mixed up. You must be growing in Christ to have your worldview in your life to see the world as God wants you to see it. The second is this, your feelings. See, feelings cannot be ignored nor placed in charge. They are signals to alert us to be aware of the condition of our heart. Scripture tells us to own our own feelings and to be responsible for them. Listen, your feelings are your property. Your feelings are your property. No one can make you feel anything. Our feelings bring better clarity to our world, yet they are not meant for us to navigate through life. The third thing is this, our attitude and belief. Attitudes have to do with our orientation about something. Beliefs are anything we accept as true. You are the only one who feels the effects of your attitude and beliefs, and you're the only one who can change them. The fourth thing is this, our behaviors. Behaviors have either benefits or consequences. We must realize whatever we do has a benefit to it or a consequence to it. There's no middle ground. Whatever decisions we make, our actions are either going to help improve or hurt in some way. The fifth thing is this, our choices. We're responsible for our choices. We cannot lay responsibility on anyone else or blame or excuse away the decisions that we make. They're our decisions. The sixth thing is our values. What we value is what we love and assign priority to in our lives. What we value is the things that we really love. If we love God first, we'll value Him and we'll base our life off Him. We love other people, we'll serve them. You see, our values. The seventh thing is the limits. Limits protect us, protect what we love, and limits build structure in our boundaries. Inside of our boundaries, there's limits for us, what we will and will not do. And there's limits of what we will accept from other people also. That's that gate inside of our fence. There are some things that we say, no, the gate stays closed to, There's some things that we'll open the gate to let in. The eighth thing is talents. We have God-given talents. We were responsible for using them for God's glory. Inside of our boundaries, we have talents. We all have them. God gives them to us. How we use them glorifies Him, not glorifying us. The ninth thing is thoughts. We have our own thoughts. We must keep learning about God, how He desires us to think and bring clarity to our distorted thoughts. In other words, the Bible says, capture every thought and take it to Christ. Take every thought captive to Christ. The tenth thing is our desires. Within our boundaries, we have our desires, our wants, our dreams, our goals, and our plans. We wrestle with these because most of us do not have firm internal structure in our boundaries to enable us to define and take specific steps necessary to reach our goals. We have those desires inside of us also. And the last thing is this, we have love. Within our personal boundaries is the ability to give, respond to love. We must claim our hearts as our own property and work on our own weaknesses to give and receive love. You know, there are people who just don't know how to love. There are people who have this distorted view of what love really is, that they fail to have good connections in our relationships. Creating and strengthening and maintaining personal boundaries will free us to live at peace in the joy of our salvation and avoid many of the temptations and pitfalls set by the enemy. Pamela Cummings tells us this, that individuals set boundaries to feel safe, respected, and heard. What are your personal boundaries like today? Would you say that, listen, I feel like the first thing that comes up, I crumble pretty quickly when a temptation hits me? When something comes up, I fall apart very easily. I let people say and do things in my life that I know I shouldn't. I just melt. I'd say and do things that I know I shouldn't in the right environment, and I just melt. Or we say, honestly, that we've established some pretty good things in our life. That we know the boundaries that we have, and we stick to them. And listen, there's some times we need to put a posted sign up, and we do. What's your life like? Do you have well-established personal boundaries so that you know your safe space, that you know your personal space very well, and that you can live happily in that and be you, be the person God created you to be? Or do you find yourself being trampled on by yourself and by others? And you're making a lot of decisions that God's not pleasing to God. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your family. It's not healthy for your relationships. And basically, it's you. You know what the hardest thing to do is look in the mirror and say, you are responsible. This is what we have to do, to have the boundaries that God wants us to have in our lives. As our ushers come this morning for our time of Lord's Supper, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you today. Lord, what a message to hear about boundaries, God. It's because we realize so oftentimes that we do things and say things that we've relaxed our boundaries so much. God, we've allowed temptations to overtake us. Lord, we've allowed things in our life just to overcome us. And God, we've done such a poor job of managing who we are. And Lord, today give us some help. Lord, we're willing to learn, Lord, if you teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.